I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to present my material. I'm Brian Barrick. I'm with New Mexico State University, and I'll be presenting four salt genotype responses of four cotton genotypes grown in two soils. As we know, soil salinity is a problem in agriculture. It's prevalent. Literature estimates 20 to 50% of irrigated lands to be affected by agriculture or salinity. And cotton yield can be adversely affected by salinity. This is especially pronounced in semi-arid to arid regions of the Southwest in which you have secondary salinization. Planting salt-tolerant cultivars represents one of the most viable solutions. However, there's a lack of current literature on salt-responsive cotton at different growth stages in different soils in controlled environments. And my hypothesis is that cotton genotypes respond differently to soils as well as salt, and also will respond differently at different life stages. The objectives, of course, are to evaluate all these. The main effects that I'll evaluate are genotype, soil, and treatment, and the interactions I'll be looking at are treatment by genotype, treatment by soil, and treatment by genotype and soil. Plant materials. My four genotypes are selected from a back cross inbred line of Gossypium hirsutum sure growth 747 and Gossypium barbadense Pima S7, which was back crossed to 747 for two generations. Previous research in our department and program, it was observed that NMHT 50 and 80 were tolerant and 59 and 70 were sensitive. In this pot study, I used a composite loam soil from an organic farm in La Union, New Mexico, and a composite clay soil from our research experiment station in Las Cruces. Here's some of the basic soil characteristics, but a particular note is that the loam soil had twice the EC of the clay soil pre-treatment. The study was conducted in a shade house. With a split block experimental design. Here we see the main plot, which was then split into the two soil types, clay and soil, which was again split into a sub plot of treatment, in which we have two pots seeing 200 millimolar sodium chloride treatment and two control plots seeing tap water control. Within each pot, we had three plants planted, each one harvested at an individual growth stage. The center one was harvested first, and the outer two harvested alternately to avoid crowding. Seeds were sown, of course, as we said, in 1 gallon pots with 3 hills per pot, 2 seeds per pot. They were thinned to 1 seedling per hill. And salt treatments began at first true leaf stage. At each harvest, which is 3, 6, and 9 weeks of salt treatment, which correspond to 6, 9, and 12 weeks of plant growth, we measured chlorophyll fluorescence, chlorophyll content, shoot height, leaf length, fruit number, node number, and fresh and dry biomasses. And of course, the chlorophyll fluorescence was measured with an OptiScience 30S, and the chlorophyll content was measured with a Konica Minolta SPAD 502. Analysis of variance. The statistical analysis was performed in SAS 9.2, and the means were separated by least significant difference. Here we see the first growth stage at 3 weeks treatment, and note that we have three genotype significances and soil significance and treatment significance across the board, just two soil by treatment significances, which is very similar to second growth stage, which is 6 weeks of salt treatment, 9 weeks of growth. In this one, though, we have also a genotype by treatment interaction, the only one for dry shoot weight. However, in the third growth stage, which is 12 weeks of growth, 9 weeks of treatment, you see no genotype significance and no interaction suggesting that the optimum time period for doing cotton salinity tolerance screening is in the first 9 weeks of plant growth or 6 weeks of treatment. The pretreatment plant height analysis yielded an interaction, which is the red line at the bottom with NMHT 70, but the overall effect of treatment can be seen for soil, in which the plants grown in clay soils performed a lot better than that in loam. This may be, of course, due to the higher salinity content or other factors. For the main effect of genotypic differences, we're looking at graphs of plant response over the three growth stages, and the asterisk denotes points, growth stages in which there was a statistical significance. On the top left, you have chlorophyll fluorescence, in which case the blue line is NMHT 50, which is the top performer, NMHT 80, the lower one, which is the purple line. 70 performed better, which is the green line for leaf length in the upper right, and for internode length along with NMHT 59. However, for main stem no number on the lower left, 80 was the top performer. Looking at main effects of salt treatments, pretty much the trend we have, the blue line is the control means and the red line treatment means. Salt treatments were effective in reducing overall plant height and plant growth for all stages. Most pronounced is the third leaf stage on the top right. This trend continues, as you can see, for more profound and the fresh shoot and dry shoot weights, the difference becomes more profound as the plant progresses through its life stage, which of course in the lower left results in lower fruit number, which results in lower yield. Chlorophyll content in the first stage was the only non-significant treatment, as well as all three chlorophyll fluorescences. Here to illustrate the effects of salt treatment, you have the pots on the left for all four genotypes or salt treatment. Controls are on the right. For the main effect of soil, the main import to take note is the loam underperformed the clay for the first growth stage, which might be due to the initial salt concentration for all, but for the second and third stage, it outperformed the clay, except for average internode length on the lower hand and chlorophyll content on the lower right hand as well. The other difference of note is the higher variance in the means, which of course, when compared to, say, the salt treatments in which you saw, resulted in less significant tests across the board for the soil values. The lack of genotype by soil interactions. After treatment began for 27 tests, there weren't any, as well as the higher variability of soil treatments. And the fact that genotypes perform similarly in both soils suggests that when screening for salt tolerance, you really don't want to consider using multiple soils. Actually, it tends to confound the data. With one genotype by treatment interaction over 27 tests, which the interaction plot is seen on the top right, and the main effect of treatment seen on the bottom saying treatment is effective, and the plants performed similarly across the board, basically, you can also suggest that you may not need control plants when screening large numbers of genotypes for salinity tolerance, which would cut half the labor unless you're doing a genetic study or whatnot. Out of the 28 tests, there were only four soil interactions, soil by treatment interactions, and this of course again reinforces the fact that soil isn't necessarily needed. It didn't show up as significant, and there's only four tests. In summary, to recap the main points of the presentation, based on the six significant genotype tests, NMHT 50 were proven tolerant from previous research and 59 susceptible from previous research. The overall effect of salt treatment was effective in discriminating shoot height, node number, fruit number, leaf length, chlorophyll content, and shoot dry and fresh weights through with the genotype significances through the first two growth stages, suggesting that the optimum time period for salinity screening is the first 9 weeks of growth or 6 weeks of treatment. The lack of soil by genotype interactions of the phenotypic measures once again suggests that multiple soil uses in salinity screening is really not needed and confounds the data. And the lack of treatment by genotype interaction suggests that control plants aren't necessarily needed when screening tolerance. These are the references for my presentation. And I'd like to acknowledge my graduate committee members, Dr. Zhang, Dr. Ollery, Cotton Breeding Genetics crew, and the people in my department that helped me on the research. At this point, I'd like to ask anybody if they have any questions.
We've got plenty of time. If you have any questions?
Yes, sir.
Brian, you mentioned several of the measurements on the salt
mm-hmm.
were significant. Do you think you could get 35 or just a subset of those, say, pounds to select?
Yeah. Most determinant, I would say the best ones that deal with like cell elongation, like shoot height, leaf length, anything that, that gives the a general growth rate. I mean, they've also used a lot of the photosynthetic measures, but they didn't prove as effective in this study.
Charlie? I'm just asking, because I don't know, but is there like a standard salt concentration that is like determined
Most people use 100 to 400 millimolars. After you go after 400 millimolars, you start getting into salt toxicity. A lot of people generally tend around 200 because it's the mid-range to induce stress but not kill the plant.
But your salt treatments are every 2 days, right? So you're doing 200 millimolar.
200 millimolar every 2 days, and I meant to mention that through the first growth stage. After that, it became exposure. Especially in working with real soils, I found as opposed to potting soils where I've done screening tests, you don't get leaching, which you tend to accumulate a lot of salts. I took leach at towards the end of the first, and I had anywhere between 30 and 40 decisiemens, at which point I just added water to keep the salt ions active and the plant stressed. But any other questions? Yes, ma'am? Well, in reference to that statement, it's more so for preliminary screening when you're dealing with large numbers. You can compare them relative to each other, and most breeders have a pretty good idea of how their genotypes perform, and basically it's just pick the highest, best values. I mean, unless you're doing a genetic study where you're trying to identify specific genes or loci associated with tolerance and then grab that gene, it's just a quick and dirty way to do it. Harvested right away from fresh, and then pretty much within a couple hours we took them to a driving oven and dried them until for 4 days at 65 degrees Celsius.
Any other questions from the audience? Brian, I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
When I was at New Mexico State back in the 70s, so I'm kind of revealing my age, there was a lot of concern in research about salt flowing through the profile, leaching, especially in the alluvial floodplains of the Rio Grande River, the farming areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that still kind of a prominent concern in the farming areas?
Actually,
salt concentrations?
Yeah, actually, especially that's what we found in the organic farms. Organic farms tend to accumulate salts more, but a lot of people will over-irrigate to try to leach the salts back out of the bottle zone, the root profile, so the plants fare better. And that's why you also have to design your fields better so they have proper drainage. And some people install pipes, the lower ditches on the sides.
Okay. I'd like to ask the audience, we've got a wide representation of the U.S. Cotton Belt, but what other regions really have salt problems?
Well, the Benton Ridge area, Louisiana, has a salt problem because a lot of the water that they irrigate with is saline. But if you had a salt-tolerant variety, I think you would not get the accumulation because it would have 50 to 55 inches of rain, so you would get a lot of leaching out.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't get accumulation, but there is the salt problem with irrigated water.
Yeah, you definitely have it.
Yes.
Yeah, I know in Arizona there are certain areas that have salt concentrations, and matter of fact, they will plant in a bed, and then they will furrow irrigate every other furrow and push the salts off to the side of the beds. So
that's what we do in the Vegas.
Yeah. Any other questions for Brian? All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.